us.
And I do hope the Lord will show us some things tonight, reveal some things to us out of His Word. And I tried to get with the Lord and tried my best to find something in the Psalms where we've been preaching there for the most of our Tuesday nights and so forth. But I'm going to tell you, I could not find no peace there. And the Lord directed me back to the Song of Solomon. And so I want to ask you to turn your Bibles tonight to the Song of Solomon and chapter number 3. And I don't have a whole lot as far as notes are concerned. And I'll be honest, I don't think anything new to preach. But I want to try to bring out some things here that I hope will stir your heart just a little bit. I don't think it's any secret tonight that we need revival in our hearts. The church needs revived. I think about everybody's aware of that. And a lot of the battles that we're fighting have taken a great deal of the Spirit out of us. And that's what revival is all about, getting the Spirit back that we've lost. And I think it's quite evident that a lot of the Spirit is gone. It's like secular events, you know, like the military. They talk about the morale in the military being low. What they're saying is they don't have much Spirit. And I think that's the case here in the church. I don't necessarily think there's anybody committing adultery here or anybody going out on Saturday night and getting drunk. I don't believe that. I hope there's not. I hope I've taught you better than that. If you don't have any more grace about you than that, for God's sake, stand up and confess it, and we'll excommunicate you quick so we can get on down the road with the plan. Amen? But I don't think there's anything like that going on. And I'll be honest with you. I don't know a whole lot about preaching, but I believe that God's been helping me preach as well here lately as I've ever preached in my entire ministry. And I don't think that's it. I think that we're living right exactly where I've been preaching out of the 3rd chapter of the Song of Solomon. And I'm going to be quite up front with you before I begin preaching. I really feel like that tonight is a real crucial time for us. It could have happened this coming Sunday, but God said preach it tonight. And I think it is because I believe in preaching. I believe that God manifests Himself through preaching, and God ministers to a church through preaching, and God leads a church through preaching of the Word of God. And I know where we are in this message tonight. I know where God's been dealing with me about, and I know where we are. I spoke with Brother Smith today on the phone. Brother Brown is up there in a meeting with him. They're in their second week of meeting, and both of those men tell me that God's plow is down deep, and I don't know whether there's many folks there to plow around or not, whether he's got many flowers in the garden left, but they're plowing nonetheless. And Brother Brown assured me that God is moving there, and Brother Smith and I talked, and here's what he told me. He said, "Preacher," he said, "God, we had revival of some degree. We had a stirring of God back in 1996 and 97, talking about it, Welcome Baptist." And he said, "I've learned through that." He said, "Shortly after that," he said, "it's when we had to deal with some young ladies in the church that was committing adultery and all kind of immoral acts in their own lives." And said, "We had to deal with that, and it's taken us a long time to recover from it." But he went on to say, he said, "What I found out," he said, is in revival meetings, when God deals with people in revival meetings and people don't deal with God, that sometimes down the road there is going to be a consequence. There's going to be, God, you're going to have to suffer the consequence of disobedience. And the problem in our churches today is not long hair on men. It is not pants on women. It's not even television in our church. I know that Steve and Patty's got a television. And I'm not saying that to criticize them. I'm just telling you a fact. But the television in their home is not the problem in our church. I'm going to tell you what the problem is. It is a heart problem. It's heart problems. It's heart problems. And the heart problem that we're dealing with is, are we willing as a church to go on with God, or are we satisfied with where we are? We can be some of the greatest people in all the world, folks, and God spiritually bring us to a particular place of maturity in our life. And if we get relaxed and settled on our lees there, as the old saying is, we get settled there and complacent there and satisfied with where we're at, mark it down in your book that God will deal with that situation. God, there is, and I preach it to you, there is no stopping place in Christianity. In your experience, there is no such thing as absolute, all the way, sold out maturity. I've arrived. Forget that. If you think you've got there, forget that. You are blinded, friend. You are a fool if you believe you've arrived. You haven't arrived. And I believe that we're at a very crucial place, and I'll tell you why in just a few moments when I get into the message. I may not do anything more than talk to you the way I'm talking to you right now. But I want you to stand. We're going to read the same five verses that we have been reading in this chapter for quite some time now. And I'm going to try to bring the thought, just a little old simple thought, that God's laid on my heart. By night on my bed I sought Him whom my soul loveth. I sought Him, but I found Him not. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets, and in the broad ways I will seek Him whom my soul loveth. I sought Him, but I found Him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye Him whom my soul loveth? It was but a little while that I passed from them, but I found Him whom my soul loveth. I held Him and would not let Him go until I had brought Him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love, till He please. Let's pray. Our Father, I'm thankful tonight now for the good singing that we've enjoyed, the good old hymns of the faith. And I do pray, Lord, that You'll stir my heart and let me preach to Your people. I ask You that the Spirit of God may divinely intervene tonight to uncover this great Bible truth to us. And help us, Lord, tonight to see Jesus. Help us to find You in our lives tonight. Help us as a church tonight to find Christ. And Lord, as when we find You, please give us the grace to hold on as this girl did, as the bride of Solomon. I do pray that You'll stir the hearts of Your people and bless them. I know the spirit is low. I pray that You'll stir up Your people and give great light. Lord, You're able to bring a sweet peace to every soul in every situation, every trial of life. You're able to calm the waters that are around us. And I pray that You'll do that. I know there's some here tonight that are brokenhearted, some, Lord, just really perturbed. And I pray that You'll divinely intervene and settle them, strengthen, establish them to the honor and the glory of God. I pray that You'll provide some means of liberty tonight and clarity of mind. Help me to think straight and clear. And help me, Lord, to preach the Word of God with truth and verity. And I'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Notice now, if you will, in verse number 4 is where I find our thought for tonight. In the middle part of that verse, the bride has found her beloved. And she says, I held Him and would not let Him go. I held Him and would not let Him go. Amazing statement. I found Him, and after I found Him, I would not let Him go. As if anybody can hold Christ against His will. But she said, I found Him, and I would not let Him go. I want to try to preach tonight for just a little while on the thought how to hold your grip. How to find Him and how to hold your grip. How to hold on to Him after you've found Him. Now, I want to preach tonight on the thought that, like I said, that is found here in verse number 4. The church here gives her account of finding Christ. She found Him, whom her soul delighted in. She found her beloved. She found the apple of her eye. He that she had sought on her bed in the night season, in the streets of the city, in the broadways, through the ministers of the gospel, she was able to go just a little bit further by determination and able to find Him who her soul delighted in. She found Him. And she found Him because she was determined to find Him. She deemed Him more necessary than her daily food. I want to ask you tonight, church, what value do you put upon Christ? How do you value the Lord Jesus? He that gave a ransom for your soul, what value Him at? Judas Iscariot valued Him at 30 pieces of silver. I certainly hope tonight that you and I esteem Him more highly than all the gold in Fort Knox, yea, than all the money in the world. For money cannot buy what God has done for you and I. We are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus, we have been redeemed out of the slave market of sin. Our soul has been set at liberty, and sin no longer has dominion over us. We are bound for the promised land. Hallelujah to God. And we ought to esteem Him highly, my friend, who has made it possible for you and I to escape the damnation of hell and enjoy the bliss of heaven for all time and for all eternity. What value He Him tonight? What kind of a price do you put on the Lord Jesus tonight? I'm going to tell you, she valued Him more than anything else in this world. And she was determined to find Him. When she found Him, she found a treasure. Now, I don't want you to get the idea that she found Him here for salvation. She had already been saved. Christ has come to seek and to save that which was lost. You did not find Him. He found you. Amen. Come searching for you. And like that little lost sheep, like that one that had strayed from the 99, Jesus found you, placed you on His tender shoulder, and has carried you there all your life and will carry you there until you reach home. Oh, yes. She's not talking about salvation. She's already been found in salvation, but she's referring to that intimate communion and fellowship that she can have with the Lord. I want to ask you tonight, have you found Him in fellowship? Have you found Him in communion? Have you sought for Him? Are you tired of dead, dry church services? Are you fed up to hear with spending time in the Bible, and it's just like words of this world and vain words that have absolutely no meaning to your heart? Are you tired of praying and heaven is like brass and the Word of God is dead and church services are dry? Are you tired of this? I want to say, if you are, He can be found. Have you found Him yet? And by all means, if you find Him, and I hope you do find Him, then, my friend, it is your responsibility to lay hold to Him and to hang on to Him. And I'm preaching on how to hold your grip. We do not have the assurance, my friend, although we find Him, that we will remain with us. Because if we back off into a state of lethargy and complacency and deadness, mark it down, our Lord will pack His grip and be gone from us again. And if He hides Himself, He shall be found of no man until He Himself is ready to reveal Himself to us again. Now you stay with me. She had sought, but not in vain. Hallelujah to God. The promise of God was made good to her. Seek and you shall find. What a promise. That is a Bible promise, friend, that Christ Himself gave to the church. Seek and you shall find. Somebody said, well, I have always taken that to mean seek the things of this world. Oh no, seek Him and you shall find Him. Oh yes, knock, ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Oh my, she found that promise of God a reality in her life. If she had seeked, she had found. She sought and her seeking was not in vain. For in verse number 4, 1, 2, and 3, she found Him not. But in verse number 4, my friend, she found Him. And when she found Him, she said, I'll never let you go. I will hold on and hold on tightly until I have carried you into my mother's chambers, into the chambers of her that conceived me. And I believe that to be a local New Testament church. I will not turn loose until I brought you to the house of God that others might enjoy the same fellowship and communion that we, you and I, are joined in Christ. Are you listening? Don't leave me. She sought Him privately. But she didn't find Him. Didn't find Him privately. Some of you have told me I've read my Bible and it's like I'm reading a dead book. I've sought Him privately, but I didn't find Him there. She sought Him by prayer and meditation and she still didn't find Him there. Oh, yes. She sought Him publicly and she still didn't find Him there. She sought Him in the ordinances and she still didn't find Him there. And by the way, I'm learning one thing from Gill and Durham on their commentaries on the Song of Solomon. We take the Lord's Supper very much too lightly, church. That bread that represents His body and that juice that represents His blood that was shed. Now, I'm not talking about taking it irreverently with sin in our life. I'm talking about, my friend, taking it in a reverent, holy manner, realizing that it's there in those ordinances that we have been commanded to do in remembrance of Him. And if we're remembering what they represent, His death on the cross, it will bring us into contact and communication with the great God of glory that blessed and died on Calvary for us. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. She didn't find Him in the ordinances. And I'm going to say this, she didn't find Him in the preachers of the gospel either. She didn't find Him in the ministers. But when she departed and went just a little bit further, she found Him. Now what does that teach us? She didn't find Him in none of these things. But when she went a little further, she hadn't gone but a little while, a little further up the road, she found Him in whom her soul delighted. She found her beloved. She didn't find Him in private. She didn't find Him in prayer and meditation. She didn't find Him in the ordinances. She didn't find Him in public worship. She didn't find Him in the preaching of the Word of God. But when she went a little further, when she was determined, when she was absolutely determined that she would not give up her search until she had found Him, my friend, it was at that moment in her life that she found the great Lord of glory that had saved her. Now, what does that teach you and I? Huh? I want to say this first of all. Don't some of you dry up now. And don't fall out with me. But this teaches us that Christ reveals Himself to us by His own sovereign will. You better believe that's right. It teaches me, my friend, that nothing that we can do merits the love of God. Nothing we can do merits the grace of God.
nothing we can do merits the presence of God. It teaches me that God reveals Himself to us through His own sovereign will and design for our lives. Amen. Somebody said, "Preacher, how did he come up with that?" Well, Paul watered, Paul planted, and Apollos watered, but sudden God gave the increase. Now, I'm going to tell you that somebody can plant the Word of God in your heart. The preacher can water the Word of God. But unless Christ gives the increase, there will be no increase made in your heart. I want to say, secondly, that teaches us that we should never be discouraged when all means fail. Everything at her disposal failed her. Don't be discouraged when everything else fails. Somebody said, "Why?" Because I'm getting ready to preach a paradox to you. Because Christ will honor the efforts of our heart and our soul to make Himself known to us. Although He reveals Himself by His sovereign will, He looked down upon that little old bride, my friend, in love and mercy, and honored her efforts and the desires of her heart, and made Himself known to us. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, let's not. We can't afford to give up, my friend, because if we diligently seek the Lord, He will somewhere honor our effort and make Himself known to us. God loves us too much not to do that. Somebody said, "You got an illustration for that?" Job. Job said, "I looked forward and He wasn't there. And I looked behind me and He wasn't there. Right hand, left hand, and He wasn't there. Where He worked, He wasn't there. But He said, I know when I'm trying that I'll come out as pure as gold." And in the last chapter of the book, my friend, through Job's efforts and him staying right and him continually seeking God, God turned again the captivity of Job and revealed Himself to him. And He will us too. If we'll stay right and put forth an effort and seek Him. But you sit back on your lees. If you don't know what that is, read your Bible and you'll find out. Sit back on your blessed assurance and say, "Well, Christ is a sovereign God. And I don't have to do nothing. He'll do it all." And my friend, you'll find yourself in a pickle, in a mess. He is a sovereign God. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, friend, He may be a sovereign God, but you sit back on your blessed assurance, on your bed of ease, and you're not going to find Him there. He did not reveal Himself to her until she had, my friend, what's the word I'm looking for? She had went through every means possible of finding Him, and when she had exerted herself and exhausted her means, it was then and then only that Christ revealed Himself to her. And I'm going to tell you, the longer it takes us to get to that point, the longer we're going to remain dead and dry. Huh? And some of y'all may be worried about people that's left the church. Let them go. I mean, some of them's left here and ain't even said goodbye. Kiss my foot so long, it's been good to know you. And if you think I'm chasing after them, friend, you're crazy. I've never made a practice. God told me a long time ago when they started making their exit, let them alone, and let them alone I have. I'm not about to seek after dead wood. And wet wood, it won't burn. I want wood that will burn in the house of God. Oh yes, when Christ is found, my friend, we may not have many, but when He's found, I'll guarantee you what's here has been through hell enough that they'll burn for His honor and glory. I didn't get an amen, but one amen on that. Some of y'all may not believe what I just told you. Apparently you don't. I want to say, number three, what this teaches us is that finding Christ when all else fails gives the greatest discoveries of Christ's love and grace. When all else fails, He gets maximum glory out of revealing Himself And when He reveals Himself, He reveals Himself in maximum grace and glory. Somebody said, Brother Hall, where do you get that? Here is the point that I'm getting ready to tell you that is crucial in the night. And folks, you can sit there and scratch your kids' heads. You can sit there and pick your nose. You can look down at the floor. But I'm telling you as your pastor that it is imperative that this church quit playing around and does a diligent search to find your Lord. And I'm talking about between now and Sunday morning. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, why? I'm telling you why, because of the next verses in the chapter. She saw Him coming out of the wilderness. And when they come out of the wilderness, in the next verses you find Him and the bride taking a royal chariot ride together. She found Him, and when she found Him, He placed her in His royal chariot with the canopies down and reinstated the divine fellowship that they had had before. Now I'm here to tell you, if you don't find Him, no chariot ride. Now I hope you got a hold of that. She found Him. She found Him, and she was blessed with an intimate fellowship of a ride in a royal chariot with 60 soldiers around it, my friend, guarding it. Now, I'm here to tell you, if she hadn't have found Him, there would have been no chariot ride. And you can take it from me tonight. You've got from now to Sunday to find Him. And if you don't find Him by Sunday, she'll be as dead as 4 o'clock in the morning around this place on Sunday. But if you'll seek diligently, my friend, for the Lord, He'll reveal Himself to you sometime between now and Sunday morning. We'll find ourselves Sunday morning in a chariot with the God of glory, with the footmen with drawn swords around it. My friend, a marching around us, a guarding us, and we on the inside enjoying blessed and holy fellowship and communion with the Lord of glory that loved us and died on Calvary that He might fellowship with us. Now, did you get a hold of that? If you didn't, you need to. Now, I'm going to tell you, some of you, just take it with a grain of salt. And some of you that think that you don't need what I'm telling you, that you've already arrived, you, some of them, it's as far away from God, bless God, as daylight is from dark. Are you hearing me? I hope so. You know what the situation that over in Bible Baptist has showed me? That some folks that I thought were spiritual giants were lost. And some folks that I thought might be lost has probably got more spirituality than the rest of the crowd. People will fool you, friend. Some of them you think's got real spiritual depth ain't a bit more saved than a billy goat. They know the motions, they know the little words, and they know how to put on a front and act like they are somebody. When they don't have a thing but a little knowledge of a book that's logged in the head, but they don't have enough heart to go after the God that the book is written about. I hope you're there, buddy. Huh? In the next verses, they have the chariot. And if you don't find Him now, there'll be no chariot romance. She went on and had a real romance, buddy, in the chariot. I want to say, fourthly, that Christ delights in our finding Him, teaches me, and gladly surrenders to us that we might adore Him. When she found Him, she said, I would not let Him go. Do you really think she had the power to keep Him from going? Friend, we're not talking about a man here much. We're not talking about a woman, her strength. We're talking about a man. We're not just talking about a man. We're talking about God. She said, when I caught hold of God, I wouldn't let God go. Who can bind Him? I read in Luke 4 that when He went into Nazareth and started to preach, they tried to throw Him down a hill headlong, and He just disappeared out of their sight. You're not going to bind Him. You're not going to hold Him. But He allowed her to hold Him because He delights in fellowship with us, and He delights, my friend, in us adoring Him in spirit and in truth. Let me ask you this. If He doesn't, who was it that went a-searching for who in the garden? When Adam had ate that fruit, I'm sure that God was hiding over in a corner
And Adam said, God, where are you? Not hardly that way, was it? Adam! Where are you, Adam? He'd come in the cool of the day, the same time that he'd always come to fellowship with Adam, and he'd come to fellowship with him, and Adam was in sin. I'm telling you, my friend, he delights in being found and adored and worshipped and praised. He never run from worship one time in the New Testament, not one time. Not one time, any time anyone in the New Testament fell down to worship him, he received their worship. Oh, yes. And when they did so, if they come to him with a compassionate, tender heart over a child that was sick or a child that was possessed of a devil or even themselves sick and one thing or another, my friend, not one time did he tell them no. He delights in doing good. He delights in blessing his people. He delights in being worshipped. And he delights in having the preeminence at the house of God where we're at tonight. You better believe that's right. Now, it was not her strength that held him. No, sir, it was not her strength that held him. It was not her strength. But she held him, and she would not let him go. Now, please hang with me, and I won't be but just a few more minutes. I want to say I've got four things on how to hold your grip. She held him by her faith that had found him. I didn't say by faith. She found him by her faith, or she held him, rather, by the faith that had found him. Oh, I've preached it so many times, Brother Doug, that whatever it takes to get God, it'll take the same thing to keep God. And I'm going to tell you what our problem is here. What it took to get God a few years ago, we don't have it. She's gone. The zeal is gone. The love is gone. The warmth is gone. The determination is gone. The excitement is gone. The faith is gone. We don't have the faith to have revival that we had prior to 1996. It's gone. And I'm going to tell you what it'll take to find him, to hold him. It'll take the same faith to hold him that it takes to find him. I wrote down these three things, friend. That faith, hey, by the way, reach out by faith and touch him. She said she held him. She didn't just find him, Sister Woodard. She said, I held him and would not let him go. That tells me that she came into contact with him. It wasn't just finding him at long distance across. Hello, Jesus! Oh, no! Son, it wasn't even across the room. She got close enough, she found him, and came close enough that, my friend, she made contact with him and held him and would not let him go. Why, he's there, he's here, his presence, why don't you tonight, while God's touching me and letting me preach, for God's sakes, why don't somebody in here reach out by faith and grab hold of him? Are you listening to me? Reach out by faith and get him tonight. You will not have him no other way. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For they that come to him, like she did, I passed by a little while, she came to him and she found him and she laid hold to him. And her faith pleased God. Are you listening? Her faith pleased God. And she would not let him go. Reach out by faith and get him. Exercise your faith. I'm not talking about commanding God. I'm talking about falling down on your face and saying, God, please have mercy on me. And honor this feeble little faith that I have. And by what little faith I have, please let me to lay hold of you tonight. And if you'll just let me touch the hem of your garment, I'll grip onto the hem of your garment with all the spiritual strength that I've got. And I'll never, 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 never let you go ever again. Hallelujah. I want to say that faith that found him is like an anchor. Woo! You may not be liking it, but I am. that faith is like an anchor. I looked up the word anchor in the dictionary. It says that which gives stability or security. That on which we place dependence and safety. Did you know that an anchor is the language of a mariner? It's a language of a seaman. And there are numerous anchors. By the way, Paul said in Hebrews chapter 6, the hope which we have as an anchor that entereth in behind the veil. Our little anchor holds behind the veil. Oh, yes, sir. And there are several different kinds of anchors and terms that are used for anchors. There is an anchor term that called anchor comes home. Well, I like it. And I got this out of the dictionary. It's in your dictionary. Go look at it. Anchor comes home is when it is dislodged from its bed so as to drag the violence of the wind, the sea, or the current. Forget the last part of it. When it's dislodged from its bed. Let me ask you something. Where did she get off? What did she get off of? To go after it. She got off of her bed. Get your faith out of bed tonight. For crying out loud. Shake it. Give it an alarm clock. Wake up your faith, my friend. Get it off its bed and reach out and drag hold of Christ tonight. You get a hold of that. Get it off your bed. Some folks ain't got enough. If faith was gunpowder, they ain't got enough to blow their nose. Can't believe God for anything. Are you listening? Anchor comes home. When that anchor is dislodged from its bed, get it out of the bed. Get your faith out of the bed. Drop her down. Let her on down till she let it down until it touches something. Let your faith out. Let her go till it touches something. And there are anchors, my friend, that catch hold of other anchors and other items. Let your anchor catch hold of the grace of God and draw a tight rope to Him. Praise God that you'll sail the wide seas no more. I want to say that there's an anchor called a peak anchor. And buddy, I like this. Whoop, 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 whoop. A peak anchor. P-E-K, anchor. It is when it is drawn in so tight that it brings the ship directly over it. Did you get a hold of what I said? The anchor, a peak anchor, is drawn in so tight that that anchor laying on the bottom and drags the ship directly in over the top of it. Let me ask, some of you need to throw out a peak anchor. Yes, sir, buddy. And you need to drag the old ship of that straight over you. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, my friend, that we need to drop out an anchor. That Christ will be directly above us like a holy cloud and a holy fire a hovering over the house of God. Oh, my, may God help you tonight to throw out a peak anchor, my friend, that when you look up, instead of seeing your troubles and your trial and a belly aching and grappling and a mullet ribbon, rejoice in what God has done in saving your soul and look up into the face of the old ship of Zion for a change. Now get this. These anchors are various sizes. It's quite obvious to me that you wouldn't carry on a canoe or a trolling boat trapping catfish, you wouldn't carry the same anchor that they carry on the USS Newport News. For if you throwed it out, you just turn yourself over. So there's big anchors, little anchors, middle-sized anchors. Don't say how much faith she had. She just had faith. Oh, somebody said, preacher, but my faith is so little. Oh, yeah, but if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, just a little one, not just a little faith. That's all you got to have. Yes, tell that mountain to move. Tell a sycamore tree, move, and it'll be moved. Right. Now, I'm not so stupid to believe that everybody in here is on the same level. Everybody has the same faith. But if you're saved, you have some degree of faith, for by grace are you saved through faith.
And a disciple said, Lord, increase our faith. So if you're saved, everybody's got some measure of faith. Some measure of faith in us all. Some more than others. Some less than others. Some large faith, some little size, some little, some dinky and teeny, but everybody faith. And I'm going to tell you what. He knows where you are. Didn't Brother Rudy Smith say today, God knows where you are. And it's not took Him by surprise from the day He saved you to where you are now. Throw out that little anchor out of its bed and lay hold on Christ tonight. And I'll assure you the anchor will hold. The anchor will hold. I want to say secondly, her grip, how to hold your grip by the faith that found Him. And I'll tell you another way to hold your grip, by the fear of losing Him. Lord, God showed me this today. And I had myself a spell. Nay, God showed me this really last night. I had two spells, one last night and one today. I'm going to show you something. By the fear of losing Him. She had already had Him in chapter number two. She had already been to the banqueting house. She had already cried, stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, banner over me as love. She had already had His presence and she lost it, buddy. And it ain't no wonder that when she laid hold to Him, she said, I would not let Him go. And the reason I wouldn't, I had a fear right there of losing Him again. I wonder how many families, marriages have separated and they realized they made a mistake and got back together and they made the commitment when they got back together. Honey, whatever it costs, I ain't letting you go again. I won't let you. I'll pay the ultimate price. I'll do whatever's necessary to keep you. I'll make sacrifices. I'll pay whatever I have to do in order to keep your presence and keep your love. My friend, that's exactly the way that she felt. Amen. Her delight. The delight of, she had already delighted herself in the fullness of the fruit of the apple tree, the pleasures of His banqueting house. She had embraced Him in chapter 2, verse 6. She knew what it was to have His left hand under her head and His right hand embracing her. She had already felt that communion. And she said, I'll have it. I lost it, but by the grace of God, I will not lose it again. I won't give it up. What about you? Now, here's the thought that blowed me out of the saddle. And there's been so much talk lately about Mary. About Mary. Let me ask one of you ladies. Where do you always find Mary in the Scripture? Where? Jesus' feet. My, what wonderful thought that is. And what a wonderful place for us all to find ourselves, at the feet of the Savior. No finer place for us to. Would you all agree with that? Let me ask you this. When she went to the tomb and found it empty and started walking away with a broken heart and tears in her eyes, and all of a sudden she saw the man she thought was a gardener. He said, sir, where have you borne Him? Tell me where He is and I'll go get Him. What did Jesus say? What did He say first? Mary, can I ask you on the authority of the Word of God what Mary did? Huh? What part of Him? Do you know why she fell for those feet? That's where she had always found herself. But I'm going to tell you what, it goes a whole lot deeper than that. She said, I know what it was to sit with you in my brother's house. I know what it's been like to watch you raise my brother from the dead. I know what it's like to sit at your feet in Simon's house and wipe your feet with the hairs of my head and watch him with the tears of my eyes. I know what it was to have you, and I'll hold on to you. I will not let you go. Jesus said, don't touch me, Mary. It's all right. Just go tell my brethren to go before me to Galilee. I'm going to tell you why, friend.
She went for them feet. There's no better place. You can hold a big man by the feet and he can't do much. He might beat the devil out of your back, but he ain't going nowhere if you hold on tight enough.
Right.
She put the hobbles on Jesus, buddy. Right. And I'm going to tell you why she did. She said, I know what it's like to have him and I'm not losing you again. Oh, these 3 days has been like hell. These 3 days have been miserable. I've been lonely and sad and brokenhearted in your absence. And I will not go through it again. Are you listening? That's a good way to hold him. Fear of losing him again. I want to say the fourth grip in forsaking all others for him. You hear me? For he that will find his save his life will lose it. He that will lose his life will find it. And you're not going to find it until you forsake everybody else and everything else for him. He's not going to play second fiddle to you folks. It's Jesus 100% or it is nada. No half-hearted junk. I'm going to be honest. I'm not a great preacher, and I've been trying to figure all this out. If I was a novice, I could halfway understand, but I'm going to tell you, I've been doing my best to preach, and I've brought us to this point where we are in the Song of Solomon by the divine will of God, and I'm here to tell you, hey, God has brought you there, and you're gone. God leads churches into maturity. And God has chosen to bring this church to maturity. For as it occurred to you, hey, I tried to preach out of the Song of Solomon at Rick Whitlow's and it flopped. You know what he said? He said, ain't any of you preaching that here. These folks ain't that far along. Hang it up. I said, I ain't had no problem with our people. He said, they're more mature. They're further along. They've been under preaching. So those that are given much is required much. And with what you hear, you're going to be judged on what you hear. My goodness, and God said that either you'll get up and come after me and fall in line with me or I'm gone. And I'm going to tell you something. If He hides Himself and wants to stay hid, you'll never find it. I'm going to tell you, there ain't nothing any worse than somebody dying a miserable life, cold-hearted, and God gone from them, and they don't know how to get Him back. Sad. Sad, friend. I want to read you this. Talking about forsaking all others. You're going to have the same spirit Ruth had. You know what Ruth said about Naomi when they got ready to go back to the land of Bethlehem? And Naomi headed back and she turned and told Ruth, and her other daughter-in-law said, you all wait here. And the other daughter-in-law went back to her kindred. Here's what Ruth said. Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Can you say that about the Lord? Whither He goes, will you go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people. My God. Forget about other people. Forget about the lost world. Forget about your lost relatives. I'm here to tell you they're not worth it. He is more valuable than your lost relatives and kinfolk. Where you go, I'm going to go. And she said, where you lodge, I'm going to lodge. Your people will be my people. I'm forsaking it all. And your God's going to be my God. And she said, where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. Somebody said, preacher, what are you saying? Let me be buried with Jesus. For if I'm buried in the likeness of Him, I'm confident I shall be raised in His own image, my friend. Give me Jesus. Let them have the world and all others, but give me Christ. Forsaking all others. And the fourth grip is her fervent love. She had a great love. I'm talking about a great love. Fervent. Boiling. A love that got her out of the bed. A love that brought her out into the streets and hazarded her own good name, her own life. Brought her out into the broad places, the public. Brought her to the preachers and beyond them. Because she loved him. For I am the Lord thy God, and thou shalt have no other gods before me. Jesus, what is the first and great commandment? To love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, body, and soul. And the second is like unto it, to love your neighbor as yourself. Oh, but who is my neighbor? Well, it's that old fellow that's down there in the ditch, wounded. How to hold your grip. Now, you got to find him before you can hold him. And you'll find him by faith and going just a little further than anything that you've heard me preach. Going a little further. Determined to go further. Father, I want to thank you for the privilege to preach tonight. Thank you for your help. I pray that you'll bless your people now. And Lord, please give us the determination and the desire that you may reveal yourself to us. For I know you look upon the heart. And you know when we have exhausted our means, our efforts. And I'm confident that when we have, thou shalt divinely intervene on our behalf. And Lord, we'll find you standing in a glorious place. We'll find the chariot adorned, the soldiers ready, the guards made ready. And we shall take a ride in a chariot with romance and love. Please help us. As the servant of God, I need your help. I need grace, Lord Jesus. And I want your people. I want the people in this church. I love them. And I want them to have the very best that heaven has for them. Grant it to them, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We're not going to sing. Just play, Miss Hall. I don't...